Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today, Dan Friedel has a report on India overtaking China as the most populous nation sometime this year. Later, Brian Lin presents this week's technology report. We close with the next part of our U.S. history series. But first, here is Dan Friedel.
The United Nations estimates India will pass China to have the world's largest population sometime later this year. This comes from the UN Population Fund's State of the World Population Report. Both countries have over 1.4 billion people, but India will have about 3 million more people than China sometime around the middle of 2023. The last time India counted its population through a census was 2011. It is not possible to say exactly when India will overtake China. Together, the countries combine for about one-third of the world's population. China has been the world's largest country since at least 1950. That is the first year the UN issued population numbers. India's population is four times larger than it was when the country gained independence 76 years ago. Recent guesses said India would not surpass China in population until later this decade, but China's birth rate has gone down. While India's birth rate is also going down, China's population is getting older. China's population decreased last year for the first time in about 60 years. India has 254 million people between the ages of 15 and 24. That is the most in the world. India's fertility rate, the average number of children each woman gives birth to, has been decreasing since 1960, but the country's medical system is improving. More babies are surviving their first year of life. The infant mortality rate has gone down over the past 30 years. The country could become an economic power, but experts are concerned that there are not enough jobs for young Indians. If the population grows and jobs do not, many people could fall into poverty. Right now, the Center for Monitoring the Indian Economy, CMIE, says only 40% of working-age Indians have jobs. Mahesh Vyas is the center's director. He called the growing population a demographic dividend. But he said the country has failed to create enough jobs to see gains from its young workers. He noted that the number of jobs available in India over the last 6 years has remained at about 405 million. India has changed from an impoverished nation in 1947 to Asia's third largest economy, valued at $3 trillion. The country exports computer software and vaccines. Millions of people have moved from poverty to the middle class as the number of educated people has grown. Poonam Mutreja is head of the Population Foundation of India. She said the country must plan now for its young people. The country needs to invest in jobs and education. This large population will need a huge investment in skills for them to take advantage of the opportunities that will come up in the economy, she said. She added that India needs to pay attention to women and girls as the population grows, so they are not pushed into early marriages and pregnancies, which limit their aspirations. I'm Dan Friedel.
Experts say online gaming services have long presented national security risks that are difficult for governments to control. One such example is the recent release or leak of highly secret U.S. military documents shared on the Discord messaging service. Discord is known for being a popular place for online video gamers to stay in touch and share ideas. U.S. officials have charged a suspect with illegally taking and publishing the documents on Discord. The suspect is Jack Texera, a 21-year-old member of the Massachusetts Air National Guard. He joined the National Guard in 2019. Government documents explaining the charges state that Texera served as a computer specialist with the Massachusetts National Guard. National Guard forces in the United States usually perform duties for their own state, but they can also work together with the U.S. Army and serve in federal military operations. Texera worked in a group that provides intelligence support to many branches of the U.S. military, the charging documents said. He had a top-secret security clearance, meaning he had access to highly sensitive military information. The U.S. government accuses Texera of sharing highly sensitive or classified documents about the Ukraine war and other top national security issues. The leak has raised new questions about America's ability to safeguard its classified secrets. Some of the leaks are believed to have started on Discord. A user group called Thugshaker Central had about 24 individuals who talked about their favorite guns and shared memes and jokes. The charging documents said Texera started publishing classified information on social media around December 2022. The group also included a running discussion on wars, including talk of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. In that discussion, one user, known as the OG, often posted material he described as classified. Officials say OG was the name Texera used online. Technology experts say online gaming groups have long been a worry of military leaders because of their popularity with young service members. U.S. officials have said they are limited in how closely they can follow suspicious activity to make sure published information does not threaten national security. The social media world and gaming sites in particular have been identified as a counterintelligence concern for about a decade, said Dan Meyer. He is a partner at the legal firm Tully Rinke, which specializes in military and security clearance issues. The military is involved in the online gaming community. Both the Army and Navy say they employ service members whose full-time job is to play in video game competitions as part of military esports teams. The teams are considered an effective tool to possibly reach young gamers. A spokeswoman for the U.S. Defense Department, Sue Goff, said its intelligence collection activities are mainly centered internationally. In a statement to the Associated Press, Goff said the U.S. military carries out such activities in a way that follows law and policy and in a manner that protects privacy and civil liberties. Because of the difficulties of policing online leaks, the military instead carries out efforts to train service members never to release classified information in the first place. Since the latest military information leak, the U.S. Defense Department is studying its processes to protect classified information better. Officials say these efforts include reducing the number of people who can see classified material. The department is also advising service members with security clearances or permissions that they have a lifetime requirement to safeguard classified information, Deputy Secretary of Defense Kathleen Hicks said. Those efforts, however, may not be enough. Peter W. Singer is the writer of the fictional book Burn-In, which imagines attacks on the U.S. planned by users of an online war game. Singer has advised U.S. military officials on security matters. He told the AP he considers gaming groups as just another form of social networks that carry national security risks. He predicted that future spy plans and activities will likely launch from private online worlds. Singer said the growing number of social media and messaging services are no longer seen as popular places mainly for young people and online gamers. Today, children and adults are using the services for everything from marketing and entertainment to criminality, Singer said. He added, "Is this the future?" Most definitely. I'm Brian Lynn.
Brian Lynn joins me now to talk more about this week's technology report. Thanks for being here, Brian.
Sure, Ashley. Thanks for having me.
Your report centered on national security risks presented by online gaming groups. It comes after a Massachusetts National Guard member was charged in connection with the release of sensitive U.S. military information on the messaging service Discord. For our listeners who might not know, what is Discord?
Yes, so Discord is a messaging service that permits users to communicate by text, video, or voice. The service can be joined through a computer, smartphone, or gaming system. Discord launched in 2015 and immediately became popular with online gamers.
What can you tell us about who uses this service?
The company itself says it has more than 150 million users each month, and the majority of those users are between the ages of 18 and 24. One research group also estimates about 75% of Discord users are male.
And what have government officials said about how the arrested suspect was communicating with other users?
So Discord does permit users to create what it calls servers that others can only join if they are invited. These are similar to chat rooms on other messaging services, and this is the way the suspect is believed to have communicated and also released the secret military data. The company says it has nearly 21,000 of these servers, which cover many subjects, including technology, entertainment, music, gaming, and international affairs.
Okay, well, thanks again, Brian, for joining me and sharing more about your report.
You're welcome, Ashley. Thank you.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. By the middle of the 1930s, America seemed to be moving out of the worst depression in its history. Most people supported the New Deal policies of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. The dark view that many Americans held during the final days of President Herbert Hoover's administration seemed to be changing. People began to believe that the United States was facing its problems with energy and hope. Harry Monroe and Jack Weitzel tell more about the New Deal programs of President Roosevelt.
The change could be seen in the way that Americans were moving away from extreme political movements of both the right and the left. Many decided that the best solution was to work through the existing political system. Most importantly, Roosevelt's continued experiments with different programs showed Americans that they did not have to blindly follow political or economic traditions. For years, most Americans had accepted the basic ideas of traditional free market capitalism. But as the Depression began, a small number of Americans became interested in the economic ideas of Karl Marx. Roosevelt believed it was best to travel a path between these two opposite ideas. He basically supported the free market system, but he believed government also had a right and responsibility to act when needed, and he supported new government controls in such important areas as banking, transportation, agriculture, and oil production.
Some Americans did not think it was wise or even possible to mix traditional free market capitalism with government intervention or socialism. Former Republican Treasury Secretary Ogden Mills put it this way: "We can have a free country or a socialist one. We cannot have both. Our economic system cannot be half free and half socialistic. There is no middle ground between governing and being governed, between absolute rule and freedom." Many leftists and socialists agreed with conservatives that it was impossible to mix capitalism and socialism. One leftist publication wrote, "Either the nation must live with the sadness of capitalism, or it must prepare to replace capitalism with socialism. There is no longer a practical middle path." However, Roosevelt and his New Dealers happily rejected these arguments. They aimed the country between rightist and leftist extremes and created a whole new set of rules for government, the economy, and democracy.
Most Americans supported Roosevelt and the Democrats as they experimented with new solutions to the problems of the Depression. They elected Democrats to a large majority in Congress in 1934. 2 years later, they re-elected Franklin Roosevelt to a second term in the White House by one of the largest victories in American history. Roosevelt's big victory made him stronger than ever, so he decided to fight the part of the government that had been blocking many of his programs, the Supreme Court.
Most of the 9 judges on the Supreme Court in 1936 were conservative. They had ruled that many of Roosevelt's most important New Deal programs were illegal. Now, the judges were preparing to decide the future of programs to help old people, labor unions, and others. And there was nothing the president could do under the American system of government. So, Roosevelt called for changes in the system. He asked Congress to reorganize the federal judicial system, and he asked for the power to add several new members to the Supreme Court. In this way, Roosevelt hoped to gain a new majority on the court that would support his views.
Most Americans liked Roosevelt, but people of all opinions feared that the president was trying to destroy the careful system of checks and balances in the federal government. They agreed with him in opposing the court's decisions, but they accepted the right of Supreme Court judges to rule as they thought correct. For this reason, the nation rejected Roosevelt's plan to add new members to the court.
Roosevelt's unsuccessful effort to change the Supreme Court came at the same time as the economy began to get worse. Many Americans thought they had defeated the Depression in 1935, and 36. There was steady economic improvement. Some bankers had even begun to fear that the economy was growing too fast. These bankers called on the nation's central bank, the Federal Reserve Board, to control the expanding money supply. And the Federal Reserve acted to limit the amount of money in use. At the same time, the federal government began reducing the amount of money that it was spending, and it launched the new Social Security tax on workers' incomes. The effect of all these government actions was to limit the amount of money being spent by the government, companies, and private citizens. As a result, the economy began to fall once again into depression.
In August 1937, stock market prices began to fall sharply. In 7 months, the price of stock for the General Motors Corporation fell from $60 to $25. The United States Steel Company stock fell all the way from $121 to $38. In fact, the stock markets lost in 9 months about two-thirds of all the gains that they had made so slowly and painfully since Roosevelt took office. Americans had supported Roosevelt's New Deal program because it offered a solution to the Depression. Now that program seemed to be failing.
Historian Frederick Lewis Allen remembered those dark days of 1937. Goods sold slowly, Allen wrote. Businessmen became frightened and reduced production. 2 million men were thrown out of work in the space of a few months. They became less able to buy what was for sale. The terrible circle of the falling value of the dollar moved all the more rapidly.
The new economic crisis hurt Roosevelt's popularity, and it came at a time when he faced growing opposition within his own Democratic Party. For several years, conservative Democrats from the southeastern part of the country had supported Roosevelt. They liked his leadership and the power that he brought to all Democrats. But they opposed many of his more liberal or experimental social policies.
As the economy and Roosevelt's popularity fell, many of these Southern Democrats began to openly oppose his leadership. They voted with Republicans on important bills before Congress. Roosevelt became very angry about the new opposition from within his own party. He began to intervene personally in Democratic Party primary elections in 1938. He told party members in several states that they should only vote for candidates who would support his New Deal policies. Roosevelt's opponents accused him of interfering in local politics, and Democratic voters agreed with these criticisms. In almost all cases, they rejected the candidates supported by the president. A few months later, voters in the general election gave the Republicans major gains in both the House of Representatives and Senate.
In most situations, such a change in support would have signaled the end of a president's power. If people will not follow, a president cannot lead or be elected. But such was not the case for Roosevelt and the United States in the late 1930s. It was true that economic and political troubles were not solved, but another crisis was growing larger every day, making these other problems seem less and less important. The crisis was in foreign policy. Adolf Hitler and his Nazi party in Germany seemed ready to make war on Europe, and Japanese forces appeared to be planning new aggression in the Pacific. Americans could no longer just worry about their problems at home. A dark cloud was forming outside their door.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.